2017. Well, let's get to our first interview. And this morning we're chatting to Dr. Lawson on the topic of enlarged prostate glands. Just general advice around that, symptoms, and just general discussion. A very good morning to you, Doctor. Thank you so much for your valued time.
My pleasure. Good morning to you.
Thank you so much. Doc, let's get straight into the discussion of enlarged prostate glands, right? It's a silent condition which many men, you know, actually suffer with, but I'm sure there's remedies available, and you could just brief us about symptoms, what we need to do, and we'll just have a general discussion around that.
Of course, not a problem. So I think the most important thing to start off with is we have to be very clear on this. This is what we call a benign prostate enlargement, or non-cancerous enlargement of the prostate. So we're not talking about folk who've got cancer of the prostate. So this discussion is completely centered around men who suffer with an enlarged prostate not related to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important to understand. Now, it doesn't mean that if you have an enlarged prostate, you might not have cancer. It just means that for the purpose of this discussion, we're talking about men with big prostates and who don't have cancer. All right, so who is susceptible to this? Essentially, every single man over the age of 60 is going to, at some point in their life, suffer from symptoms related to an enlarged prostate. You ask, well, why is this the case? Well, no one knows for absolutely sure, because the prostate gland has a natural tendency to grow as a man gets older. And it gets larger and larger. And by the time a man is 80, almost 90% of that male population has got an enlarged prostate. And to some degree, they will suffer symptoms from it. So it's a slowly progressive condition, starting from roughly the age of 40, where the prostate just slowly gets bigger and bigger, and eventually leads to symptoms. Now, what are these symptoms? In fact, before I go down that route, let's quickly clarify that your audience is completely aware of what and where the prostate is. The prostate is a gland, or an organ that sits between the bladder and the male urethra, i.e. the penis. And it produces all the fluid that is visible in ejaculate. So it's a fairly important organ when it comes to male reproductive health and male reproduction. Now, because of its location, the minute it starts increasing in size, because the urethra literally runs right through it like an apple core, it will block off the urethra. So if you have any problems related to urinating, that's probably due to an enlarged prostate. So what are those problems? Well, the gentleman obviously can't start urinating very easily. They can't finish off urinating very easily. Often they become incontinent. They dribble. And one of the most distressing symptoms for most men is the number of times they have got to go to the bathroom, both during the day and worse so during the night. So some chaps will be up maybe five, six, sometimes even 10 times at night. And you can imagine what that does to your sleeping pattern. You're not going to sleep very well after that. So that's a short sort of summary of what the average individual is going to encounter symptom-wise. There are a whole bunch of obscure symptoms. For example, developing stones, developing what we call acute retention, where suddenly the gentleman is completely unable to pass urine, gets rushed to the emergency room, and someone needs to put a catheter in to drain all the urine that's collecting in the bladder because the prostate is so big, blocked off the urethra completely. Now, let's talk about some treatment options. I gave a presentation the other day, and one of the things in the slide was a summary of all the available treatments for an enlarged prostate. And for fun, I counted the number up. There are about 14 different types of medical treatment available to treat an enlarged prostate.
Right.
So when you have so many treatments available, you must understand that there is not one single cure. And this is very important when we talk about what I specialize in, which is a field called prostate artery embolization. It's one of 14 tools available to treat an enlarged prostate. And the broad categories would be, you know, the medical treatment. These are drugs. These are drugs aimed at decreasing the size of the prostate, not always that effective, come with a lot of side effects. Drugs aimed at increasing the power of the bladder to literally press urine out through the prostate. Then we look at a category of open surgery, where the gentleman is cut open literally from stem to stern, and the prostate is surgically removed. In other words, the bladder and the urethra are literally separated from each other. The prostate is cut out, and the two bits and pieces are reunited. That sounds pretty gory, doesn't it?
Mm, it does.
And you've got to be pretty desperate to have a big surgery like that. Now, that surgery can either be done literally by hand, where a surgeon literally puts his hand deep inside and does all the cutting, or, and I'm sure your audience might have heard about this, it can be done with a robot. It's still an individual that operates the robot, but it's robotic bits and pieces inside the individual tummy. And then we talk about the spectrum of prostate treatment, which we call relatively minimally invasive. Now, the most common procedure, and I have to be a little bit graphic here because almost 90% of the prostate surgeries are this surgery. It's called a TURP, a T-U-R-P. Now, the medical word for that, or the translation for that, is transurethral resection of the prostate. Quite simply, a metal camera, which is essentially a rod, about 5 or 6 millimeters wide, gets inserted through the penis up to the level of the prostate, and the prostate is mechanically bored out through the urethra. Now, I think that's the easiest way to understand what a TURP is. There are lots of different ways of doing it, but essentially the part of the prostate, big parts of it, is removed from inside the penis via a little camera. Now, it's very effective, but it comes with risk and a lot of complications. And almost one-third of patients treated like this have quite unpleasant complications. And one of the big side effects is erectile dysfunction. Now, that is not a very pleasant thing to have as a male, and certainly the other side effects are thoroughly unpleasant, and there's a whole list of them that your readers at any time can easily Google. Then you go, well, what do patients face when they hear about this? Their drug don't work that their urologist has put them on. They're terrified of having an open surgery where a robot is going to fiddle with their bits. And they're even more scared of having a big steel rod inserted in a rather private area. They face with very few options. And one of the options that is becoming more and more popular is this thing called prostate artery embolization. Now, we'll go through those words because it's a bit of a mouthful. So prostate, we're talking about the prostate, that's easy. Artery, every organ, every gland in the body has got a blood supply to it. It's got blood supplying oxygen and food and nutrients and everything. And then we talk about the third word, which is embolization, which is a fancy way of saying blocking the artery or blocking the blood supply. So prostate artery embolization is the blockage of the blood supply to the prostate. Now, how do we do this? It's a very elegant procedure. We make a very, very small hole in the artery of the groin, usually the right groin. When I mean very small, I mean 1 millimeter. Now, in context, that's no bigger than a needle.
Mm.
Your average, you know, sewing needle, tiny, tiny little thing.
Sure. All right.
So you make a hole in the artery. That's under local anesthetic as well. So now all of a sudden, you don't need a full anesthetic. You're wide awake during this procedure. And through that little hole, we insert a very, very small flexible tube. 1 millimeter, 1.5 millimeters in diameter. So it's really small. Using x-ray guidance, because we do all this using x-ray, we guide that little small flexible tube all the way to the prostate artery. Now I go, well, certainly, that can't be very far. Well, this is the snag. Each prostate artery, and there are two of them, has about 5 90-degree bends to get to it. And once you're there, the prostate artery itself is only a millimeter or so in diameter. So it's a small artery and difficult to get to. Once you're there, we inject these small, round, synthetically made particles. Now, they essentially look like ground-up salt granules. And once that is in the prostate artery, it doesn't cause any side effects to the prostate or to the patient. They're permanent. It blocks off the blood supply. The minute you've blocked off the blood supply to an organ, it dies. Now, our goal would be to kill the whole prostate, but we can't do that because there are all sorts of small, 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 tiny tributaries which we don't know about. But having destroyed the two major blood vessels that supply the prostate, enough of the prostate dies and the whole thing shrinks and suddenly the patient can urinate again.
Wow.
It's very elegant. There's minimal pain involved.
Right.
The recovery is incredibly quick, as in we do this in a day case.
Right.
So the gentleman comes in the morning, treat him in the afternoon, and he's home by the evening. Maybe one or two days of feeling a bit off color as part of the prostate diet, a little bit of anti-inflammatory just to control some of the discomfort, and probably within the next month even, most patients are starting to see a substantial difference in their symptoms. It means they're not getting up at night all the time.
Right.
They're able to pass urine a little bit better. They get off the medication. The side effects of the medication stop, and bang, they're happy. And they're not faced with an inordinate number of complications. The complication profile behind the prostate artery embolization procedure is exceptionally low.
Wow,
the
amazing.
Erectile function is kept. Yeah. But now you think, oh, why isn't every man in the world coming for this procedure?
Yeah.
Two big reasons. One, not every patient with a big prostate is suitable for this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's vital. That's vital to understand, which means that every patient who's considering getting prostate embolization needs to be seen by an expert and said, right, we've examined you, we've excluded cancer, we've excluded ABCDE, you are going to be a good candidate for embolization. And yes, that man goes for embolization. And the second reason is this procedure is technically difficult, and done in the wrong hands, complications can be dire. So it has to be done by someone who's been trained in the field and exceptionally well trained. And the two reasons for that are, again, one, as I said, the complications are bad if it goes wrong. And two, if you do it incorrectly, the benefit that the patient gets is zero. And that's vital. So you might even ask, you've hurt the patient, you know, but you haven't done him any good.
Yes. Doc, can I just come in there quickly? You noted the complications,
yes.
You know. It would be, if you could just shed some light on those complications if done incorrectly, repercussions.
Yes. So we talk about a concept called non-target embolization, or destroying the blood supply to organs that you are not trying to destroy the blood supply to. So the organs that are close by are the bladder. Now you can imagine if you take away the blood supply to the bladder and destroy the bladder, that's just a world of uncomfortableness and disaster.
Yes.
If you destroy the blood supply to the bowel, which is right next to the prostate as well, imagine destroying the patient's bowel, so that's surgically removed. And then last but not least, you're frightfully close to the penis. Now, if you destroy the blood supply to the penis, it doesn't take much imagination to see what's going to be left behind.
Right.
So this is what we call, these are the major complications that's done with inexperienced practitioners.
Right.
But there's kind of a fourth complication to consider, and this is really important. If the patients are not hurt, fortunately, then the procedure might not work if it's not done properly. Now, this is disastrous because you have all these high hopes of avoiding surgery. You pay for the procedure, or it's funded by a medical. Someone has to pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Psychologically, I don't think one must underemphasize the knockout that will give to a patient.
No,
they've had
course.
This procedure which has been spoken about so highly of, and it doesn't work on them.
Yes, no, of course.
You know, you want to give your patient the best shot.
No, definitely.
But the take-home message is where we work at Sunninghill Hospital, there's a team of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the correct patients are chosen. The ones who are going to succeed on most likely are selected. And we ensure that when we do it, we have the best chance of doing the procedure properly in order to give the patient
right.
the best outcome.
Okay. Okay. Doc, you said there are specialists. Obviously, there have to be specialists, skilled individuals. But around the country, I know you notice Sunninghill Hospital currently now, but I'm sure many more are becoming trained or getting trained in this particular procedure.
So, yes and no. So let's reflect on how popular the procedure is internationally and where it stands internationally. So the ruling body of good medical practice that is followed in South Africa is generally based on the United Kingdom guidelines. Now, that's an institute called the National Institute of Clinical Excellence, or the NICE guidelines. So this is the watchdog body that says the following procedures are safe and should be offered to people. All right? Now, prostate artery embolization is currently under review, and a very large data series has just been completed, and we expect to hear by the end of this year whether the NICE guidelines officially approve prostate embolization as a rollout. Now, all the preliminary data is exceptionally positive for this, and all the data coming from multiple other centers in the world are incredibly supportive of prostate artery embolization, and that it works for a select group of patients. So the writing appears to be on the wall that this is going to become a procedure that patients should be offered. Now, then you ask, well, why aren't more South African practitioners doing it? Well, number one, it's a very difficult procedure to do. So not everyone can even try and do it because you need a number of years of basic training before you get to the point of learning prostate embolization. Right. That immediately puts a number of practitioners on the back foot. Then when you start doing it, you need not only to observe a whole series of cases because the variation in the technique is phenomenal, but you have to do a number of cases under supervision.
Right.
Now, you can see I've now mentioned three steps already that are vital in being successful. And unfortunately, there's always money behind it. And to get to that point where, one, you've had the training, two, you've observed cases, and three, you've had someone train you, there's money along each point. And certainly there are practitioners in the country who are interested, but there are still there's a big shortage of practitioners who can competently do it.
Okay. And if you have to look...
That will take time.
Okay. And if you have to look at the cost to the patient for a procedure like this?
So this is really exciting because if one's talking about a new procedure on a patient, there's no point in bringing a procedure in which is more expensive than what we call the current accepted gold standard. So the current gold standard, as I mentioned, is this procedure called TURP, the insertion of a metal camera through the penis. This procedure, embolization, is 2/3 of the price. So it's cheaper.
Wow.
Much cheaper.
Amazing for the level of difficulty in everything.
That's right. Even if we include all of that, the level of difficulty, complexity, and the reason is there's a threefold reason behind that. Number one, the patient has no anesthetic. So you don't have to charge for an anesthetist. Number two, the patient does not have to go to the intensive care unit or the high care unit afterwards. It's an outpatient. And number three, it is an outpatient, so there's not even a hospital overnight fee.
Right.
Unlike all the other procedures.
And I'm sure the medical aides are quite happy with this because it's low cost for them as well.
Well, remember, a medical aide wants to see that not only is a procedure affordable, but that the patient doesn't need a repeat procedure in 5 or 10 years' time.
Right.
So the medical aides at this point are saying, well, where is the 10-year data? And we're saying to them, well, the best we can offer you is on the international field of 7-8 years' data, and it's looking very promising.
All right. Oh,
so there are certain allowances where the medical aid will fund the procedure.
All right.
And, you know, we work with them based on those parameters. And we're always negotiating with the medical aids on these are procedures that are developing. Are they willing to review it? So we still get the medical aids on board and we still want to show them the data.
Oh, excellent. Sounds very interesting. Doc, if there's any other information on the internet where people can research, maybe a website or any other information, how do they make contact?
Yes. So we've created a website for what we do at Sunnykill, and we've taken, I hope we have, the best of the international sites and compiled the information in a very clear and explicit way on our site. It's very simple. It's called prostatecare.co.za. Okay. That's prostate. That's what we've been talking about. Care, care.co.za. There's a short video on it showing what the procedure is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of simple text explaining the pros and the cons and the suitability of individuals.
Wow.
And, of course, there are contact numbers on there and contact email addresses should anyone wish to contact us.
No, excellent. Doc, thank you so much for your time. I remained rather silent in this particular discussion because it was very, very interesting. And it's what's even more amazing is the way that technology has advanced and medical
it's
treatment.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. No, excellent.
It is.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you as well. Thank you. And I'm sure people will make reference to that particular website. And hopefully, you know, it will be of benefit to everyone out there. Thank you again.
Great.
Thanks.
Great pleasure. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too as well. Hey.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
That was Dr. Lawson chatting to us about, you know, how to treat, you know, enlarged prostates and things of that sort. It rather is amazing to see how technology has actually advanced and what's involved in that. And the website, he said, is www.prostatecare.co.za. It's something worth checking out. And inshallah, may it be of benefit and assistance to everyone out there that finds themselves in a situation like this. Ameen. Sam, I think we should have another nasheed before we chat to Sheikh Musa'id Dawood on some final nasiha on this beautiful and this blessed month of Yomul Ramadan.
CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Are you with the right Islamic bank? See, some banks don't believe in bundles. They think it's simpler to charge you every single time you bank, which is a bit like this, don't you think?
Can I have a double cheeseburger and chips combo?
Mm-hmm. How many chips would you like?
What do you mean? Just the combo, thanks.
How many chips, sir? We charge per chip, 150.
What? 150 a chip? That's crazy.
Sorry to hear that, sir. Are your hands clean? The box is an extra 5 rand.
1 rand 50 for one chip, and I gotta pay for the box.
Careful, sir. They're hot, ne?
Why not switch to an FNB Islamic Gold account?